The Socceroos, kings of the continent.
As the dust settles on the Essendon doping case, could the Socceroos be the next Australian team hauled before the Court of Arbitration for Sport? The Socceroos will be in Australia next week for a pair of crucial World Cup qualifiers. But there's concern the campaign could be derailed, all because of questionable advice from FIFA. It appears soccer's trouble-prone governing body may have been breaking its own rules in order to help countries field ineligible players. Now, Australia's not the only country in this boat. The US and Qatar might also be affected. Jack Kerr is a sports journalist. He's a broadcaster with ABC Grandstand, and he's also written for The New York Times, Der Spiegel and The Guardian. Jack has been investigating this story and he joins me now. Jack Kerr, welcome. You're saying Australia may have unwittingly fielded ineligible players in events as high profile as World Cup and Olympic qualifiers. How could a situation like this arise?
It seems to be a mix of FIFA trying to do the right thing and protect the integrity of their game, and that getting caught up in the political machinations and secrecy and shadiness of an organisation like that. So if we go back about a decade, you had countries like Qatar and an African country called Togo basically going on shopping sprees to buy players for their international teams or the national teams. And we're talking here about teams that go to the World Cup, not your Manchester Uniteds or your Real Madrids.
The commercial teams.
Yeah, the clubs. So this even made Sepp Blatter upset. So he called an extraordinary congress of FIFA and they brought in new rules, which essentially meant that a migrant player, so a player who wasn't born in a country, didn't have a parent from there or didn't have a grandparent from there, had to live in their new country for 5 years as an adult before that they were eligible to play, which was well-intentioned. And it did stop Togo and Qatar from buying players at that point in time. But the flip side was that it inadvertently acted as a ban on migrant players coming. So, for example, in New Zealand, they recently fielded a player called Declan Wynne. Now, he was born in South Africa but moved to New Zealand as a 14-year-old. He played in competitions like the Under-20s World Cup for New Zealand. And last year was involved in New Zealand's Olympic qualifying campaign. And then Vanuatu noticed, or Vanuatu decided to make a noise about it, and New Zealand was very quickly thrown out of Olympic qualifications.
The team was disqualified from the final on Sunday, just one win away from a berth at the Olympics.
To go out this way, I thought, you've got to be joking. I mean, it was a total catastrophe.
Oh, look, this is hugely embarrassing for New Zealand football and for football.
Kiwi officials are adamant they've played by the rules, although there's a fair amount of confusion over what those rules are.
It seems completely unfair to those countries who are immigrant-based, such as ours, and to young people who move here that would like to play football and pursue a career in the sport.
Okay, so Australia is a massive migrant country. What does this mean for us?
Look, Australia was actually pretty on the ball here, and they noticed that this was going to cause a lot of problems for Australia with so many migrant players coming up. And also FIFA noticed it was a problem, and especially in the EU, which is like the heartland of football, where there are laws that against the restriction of movement of players. So they realised there could be a problem if, say, a Swiss player wanted to go and play in England. They would be restricted from leaving Switzerland until they were 23, and also they wouldn't be able to play for the Swiss national team at under 17, under 20, under 23, or the senior level. So it's not well known, but FIFA began to hand out exemptions to countries in situations like this. And obviously New Zealand didn't know about it, or they would have got one for Declan Wynne. But we believe around 40 have been given out, and about half of them have gone to Australia. And that's the reason you see a player like Alex Cissek, who is a goalkeeper who was born in Poland, grew up in Australia, but then has lived in England since his late teens, obviously to further his career. He was recently called up for World Cup qualifiers against Tajikistan and Bangladesh. Or in the recent Olympic qualifiers that Australia was involved in, you had a player like Thomas Deng, who is a South Sudanese refugee born in a refugee camp in Kenya, migrated to Adelaide as a young boy. Or Connor Payne, his teammate, was born in Hong Kong to English parents and then migrated here. So they've been allowed to play because FIFA has handed out exemptions to players.
So we've got these exemptions, but are you saying that they're a bit woolly, they're a bit unclear? What are you saying here?
Well, the impression I was getting was that it looked like FIFA was breaking their own laws to give these players exemptions because there's nothing actually written in their statutes that gives them the power to hand out exemptions in these cases. So I approached a couple of sports law experts in Europe, some in Australia, and they both kind of gave me a horrified look when I proposed this to them, and they pointed me in the direction of a well-known sports lawyer in Switzerland called Jan Hafner, who is an expert in this field and is completing a PhD looking specifically at nationality and player eligibility. And he said it would be very, very interesting legally if someone was to challenge these exemptions and they could take their case all the way to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And there you would have, say, one of Australia's opponents, they would have a good case to say, well, Australia's fielded an ineligible team. But Australia also would have a good case.
On the one end, the country which is lodging the appeal is basically stating that these exemptions are not provided for in the regulation. And Australia, on the contrary, could say that they actually did not cheat because they went to FIFA, they received an exemption, and they would not have fielded the player if they had not received this exemption. And in essence, the Court of Arbitration for Sports would have to decide which one should prevail over the other.
And does the Court of Arbitration for Sport have the right to change the result or award a defeat?
This could happen, but there is no case law so far. So it has never been to cast. We do not know.
Sports lawyer Jan Hafner there. It was a little hard to hear, but he was basically saying that the Court of Arbitration for Sport would have the power to overturn game results. What could this do for Australia's Olympic and World Cup campaigns?
Fortunately or unfortunately, it won't affect our Olympic campaign because we haven't qualified. At least the men haven't. The women have gone through in flying colours, but
go the Matildas.
But for whatever reason, this is not really an issue in the women's side of things. As for the World Cup, I think Australia will be safe for now because this goalkeeper, Alex Cissek, I was talking about, he was called up, but he did not play. He sat on the bench for these matches. But you could see that this could be a problem if Australia progresses to the next round. And there are a lot of these migrant exempted players coming up through the system. So you could have a case where there are these players playing and a Japan or an Iran says, hey, hang on, we're going to take this to the Court of Arbitration for Sport or complain to FIFA and then take it to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Also, there's the case of the US. They could get worried about this or be worried about it because they've got a player, Gideon Zilalem, who is an Ethiopian migrant, though born in Germany, then moved to the US, lived there for around about 5 years. So he's been given an exemption. The US has been very open and transparent about that. But going by the advice from Jan Hafner, our sports law expert, so the US qualified for the Olympics with using Zilalem. So if one of their opponents was to take it to the Court of Arbitration, what would happen? Would it be a 3-0 loss? Typically, if an eligible player is fielded, a 3-0 loss is awarded. Court of Arbitration for Sport could say, we think the right thing has been done. Or they could look at New Zealand and say, well, we've also got precedents where Team in Oceania was fielding ineligible players and they were disqualified from the whole competition.
Even if you get the exemption, potentially a team can still be knocked out. That's what you're saying. It's a total unknown.
It is a total unknown. That's exactly right.
Why hasn't FIFA amended its rules to clear this up?
It's just too complicated almost when you're dealing with there's more than 200 countries represented in the FIFA Congress. They've all got differing agendas. The UAE in 2011 did try and get the law amended. That was knocked down by something like 120 to 70 votes, so fairly clear knockdown of that. There was a Congress held in Sydney in May 2013, and before that, Australia did propose a change. But they withdrew that proposal before it got the chance to be voted on. We're not exactly sure why that happened, but it's assumed that perhaps it was just a case of not wanting to have the vote knocked back. Perhaps there was other things going on behind the scenes. When it comes to FIFA, you can't rule anything out.
It's a complex beast. How have these rules affected Qatar, the host of the next World Cup?
To my eye, it looks like shortly after this Congress in Sydney in 2013, they fielded about six or seven players who, from the information I can get, it seems like there is no explanation for them playing except having an exemption from FIFA, which makes you scratch your head and wonder why a country like Qatar would be able to get these exemptions when they were the very country that these rules were brought in to stop getting players from overseas. And by my calculations, they would have the third highest amount of exemptions in the world behind Australia, who are pioneering in this field, and Canada, who also seem to have a lot of exemptions. But it's hard to know exactly who has the exemptions. And when FIFA said to the New Zealand journalist that Australia had about half of them, they listed a few other countries. Qatar wasn't on that list.
Jack Kerr, you've investigated how this whole issue of migrant players relates to the East Timorese team. What's going on in our northern neighbour?
Well, I mentioned, say, Togo, who brought in about six Brazilian players. I noticed that something similar was going on in East Timor, and they had a lot of Brazilian players. And through digging around for months, I've got a list of close to two dozen Brazilian players who have been given Timorese passports, and most of them playing in the Timorese national team, but some of them just being players in Asia that seem to have been naturalised for some reason. Doesn't seem to be a strong connection between the two countries. There's no strong history of migration. So I reported on this for the New York Times, and I went over to a match between Palestine and Timor and did a match report as well, mentioning that some of these players were Brazilian, but it was questionable how they were eligible to play. Palestine lodged a complaint shortly thereafter with FIFA, and it's about 6 months ago, and there's been very little action on that since.
So Palestine lost the game.
They drew the game 1-1, which cost them 2 points, which could be a crucial 2 points as they look to get to the next stage of these World Cup qualifiers. It's basically going to be a battle between them and the United Arab Emirates. So if FIFA does not come to a decision by the time that the next round is decided, which is only a few weeks away, it could leave Palestine in the position where they are unable to progress simply because no action has been taken on this situation in Timor. And this, FIFA might investigate it and find that everything is totally above board, but there's no ruling one way or the other. And it's interesting that the Timorese parliament and the prime minister has also been investigating this, and there's talk of fake documents being given to the parents of certain Brazilian players to make it look like or to help the process of naturalisation.
Coming back to these FIFA rules, the rules around the use of migrant players, they have very real impact.
They certainly do, although sometimes they're overlooked and sometimes people just don't ask enough questions, perhaps, on who's playing for the opposite team.
Jack Kerr, thanks very much for speaking to the Law Report.
Thank you.
Do head to the RN homepage. There you'll find a feature article by journalist Jack Kerr, who has indeed been asking the difficult questions around who can and who can't play in national soccer teams. Also at the website, you can subscribe to Law Report podcasts, you can listen to audio on demand, you can read program transcripts, and you can also leave a comment. And speaking of all things online, we're tweeting at Law Report RN and at Damien_Carrick.